The scripture reading for tonight is from Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 13. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory.
Well, hello. Good evening, Church Without Walls. So my name, like Greg said, is Erna Kim Eubanks, and I have been a member here kind of, I don't know, even maybe like 3 years. Although people, when they hear, they're kind of like, you've been around for a long time. And I was in children's ministry. I was in a small group back when they weren't Discover groups, and been kind of around CUL for some time. But I'm glad to be here, glad to be speaking to you tonight. And I am somebody who likes figuring things out. Anybody like that in this room, likes figuring things out? So I'm not very good with surprise. I'm not very good with mystery. I'm not very good with unknown, because I want to know things. I want to have control. I want to figure things out. And about two years ago, this kind of caused a conflict for me and for my relationship with Michael. We were sort of at this point where we were deciding about getting married, and we're talking about engagement and proposal, and we've been dating for, at that time, maybe like 3.5 years, mostly long distance. He had just moved up from Los Angeles to the Bay Area to be closer to me, and we're talking about engagement, and for me, I was saying this thing. I just kept telling him, like, I want to be surprised. I want to be surprised. And yet, I told him that, and then I would be kind of like dropping hints here of like, oh, I really want my family to be there to celebrate, or kind of snooping around and trying to ask like my dad, like, oh, like, you know, have you heard anything? You know, just very like trying to figure it out, not really letting him do what he needed to do. So it was making it very difficult for him, which actually caused him to take longer in this whole process, which made me more frustrated. So then it kind of got to this point where I've been waiting and waiting, like, when is this ring coming? When is this actually going to happen? And one day I was just so frustrated. I was hanging out with him, and I just looked at him, and I was like, why do I have to wait? I say yes! And he was like, Erna, this is not, no, that is not how it's going to happen. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. This is a true story. You can ask him about that. Turns out, he actually did a great job surprising me, despite all my attempts to figure things out. And it was a really great engagement. I have a picture. That's us at the marina. And the way that he surprised me, of course, is he had to choose like the most unlikely time. So he had just come off directing a conference, and I was like running with a friend. And I even told that friend in the morning, I was like, I think Michael might propose sometime soon, maybe even tonight, because he said he wanted to go out to dinner. So I'm going to make sure after we run, I'm going to go home and like wear a cute outfit and be all cleaned up. And of course, he came to the marina when I was all sweaty, all stinky, had just gone on my run. And that was a surprise. So good job, Michael. And tonight we're going to be continuing in our series and actually ending our series on Together Become. And as I was praying and preparing for this sermon, the word that just kept coming up was the word mystery. Mystery. And there's kind of just one truth that I want to share with you tonight, and it is this. That the church becoming a cross-cultural community is both a mystery we receive in Christ and a mystery we reveal to the world. That's a long statement. I'm going to say it again. The church becoming a cross-cultural community is both a mystery we receive in Christ and a mystery we reveal to the world. And we're going to look at Ephesians to talk about this idea of mystery. But before we go into that, I'm just going to pray for us. So will you join me as I pray? Jesus, we are here because of you, and we thank you for the many, many, many riches we have in you. And we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your community, and we thank you for the things that you want to do tonight. So we just invite your Holy Spirit to come, to speak to us, to guide us. May we receive your truth. May we be touched by you tonight. We give this time to you in your name. Amen. So, I love Ephesians. How many of you have read the book of Ephesians before? So, good number of you. And Ephesians is also a very dense and lofty and kind of crazy book to talk about in like a 30-minute sermon. but I'm going to try my best. And to give you a little bit of background before we jump into the actual text for tonight, I just want to give you a little bit of background about Ephesians. So Ephesians is a letter that was written by Paul, or maybe someone close to Paul, to a church, the church in Ephesus. And the church in Ephesus and this kind of audience receiving this letter was most likely majority Gentile Christians. So they were not Jewish. And this letter has several key themes, one of them being mystery, which we'll talk about. But also this mystery kind of connected to this idea of God's generosity, this lavish kind of riches that we've received in Christ. And it talks a lot about salvation, and it talks about salvation in sort of a way that connects kind of the reconciliation of people to God and the reconciliation of people to each other. And salvation actually in Ephesians is both those things. Those things are held together, and you can't have one without the other. And so it's sort of this celebration of this new church body that's been inaugurated by Jesus and what he's done. And Jesus kind of making things new. And so the first half of Ephesians talks about this mystery. It talks about this generosity of God. And this passage that we're looking at tonight, it starts with this phrase, for this reason. And whenever you have like a for this reason, you also have to kind of look, wait, what is this reason? What happened? What came before? And so I'm just going to go quickly through what happened before. And Ephesians 2 talks a little bit about this division. This division between Jews and Gentiles. And there's all these verses that talk about this relationship between Jews and Gentiles. And for this kind of countless generations, there was this reality of this people called Israel. They were God's covenanted people. And this meant that there were some strict boundaries between who was sort of part of that community, who wasn't. And there were designations about what was clean, what was unclean, these laws and customs that set kind of these boundaries between Jews and Gentiles. And so some of the phrases that describe the reality of the Gentiles before Jesus is listed here. They were kind of labeled by the Jews. They were called the uncircumcision. That was what they were labeled. They were far away from, they were separate from Christ, and they were excluded from citizenship. They were foreigners to God's covenant promise. They were without hope, without God, divided from Jews by dividing wall of hostility. They lived as a humanity separate from Israel. They were foreigners and strangers. These are all these things that was kind of summing up the reality of the Gentiles before Christ. But then Jesus enters the scene. And Jesus starts to kind of turn things upside down. He starts challenging assumptions of what it means to love. And we've kind of talked about this throughout our series. He really challenges notions of who our neighbor is and what it means to love our neighbor. He starts disrupting systems that are exclusive and unjust. He empties himself of privilege and entitlement. And he loves people who are supposed to be his enemies. And in all of this, he's birthing a church A church that acknowledges the goodness of diversity, that meets people in their heart language, makes room for leadership. And in kind of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, he inaugurates this whole new reality, this whole new way of life. He declares peace, he makes peace, he is peace. And through his body, poured out in love on the cross, and resurrected in victory over the powers of sin and death, he makes all things new. And because of this, the reality of Gentiles changes. So because of this, the Gentiles, they have equal access to God, they're brought near to God and to one another, they're fellow citizens with Israel and God's people, and Jews and Gentiles are built together into one building. They become the dwelling place for God. So Ephesians 2 talks all about this. It's a really beautiful passage. I recommend you reading through it even this week if you can. And then we get to Ephesians 3, and Paul kind of continues in this, and he talks about this whole crazy new reality, this new thing that Jesus has done. He calls it a mystery. And a mystery, if you think about it, a mystery is something that's sort of unexpected, something that was unknown, something that would be very surprising, that would no one would really expect, to the point that it would have to, the only way that you can know this mystery is that it's revealed. And Paul sums up this mystery, and he says, "This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus." Jesus makes the impossible possible. And this is what Paul calls the gospel. And when we think of the gospel, we often don't think about this. We don't always think about people being reconciled to each other as the gospel. But Paul says this is the mystery. This is the mystery of God that's been revealed in Jesus. Is that the Gentiles and Jews, these once divided people, these once foreigner strangers to one another, these once enemies, that they are heirs together. They are members together. They are sharers together. Together they become a cross-cultural community. And Jesus is the center of it all. He makes the unexpected a reality. He breaks down walls that divide. He gives access to those who are excluded. He turns foreigners into family and enemies into friends. This is the mystery of the gospel. This is the gospel. About a month ago, my parents came up, and they live in Southern California, and my two sisters, they're also married. We all live in the Bay Area, but my family lives in Southern California. And it was going to be my mom's 60th birthday, and my older sister's also pregnant, so she was having a baby shower. And so we decided, as kind of the sisters, we wanted to have this like concert for my mom, knowing that she really likes when we do things for her. So the kids like kind of threw this thing where, you know, my sisters and I prepared a few songs, a little bit of choreography, which I'm not going to show you right now, and, you know, sang a few songs. And then my brother-in-law, who's like plays a violin, he like played all these like classical songs on the violin. And of course, Michael's also there. And most of you, if you know Michael, you know that he's a musician. And so I asked Michael, like, hey, can you sing something? Can you do something too? And so he's like sitting there. And of course, you know, I'm someone who likes to figure things out. So I'm like, what are you going to play? What are you going to sing? What are you going to do? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, you don't know. My mom's like going to expect something. He's like, I'll figure it out. And so then he like, it was his turn to go. And he comes in front of our family. And he starts sharing, and he basically says, I'm going to sing two songs for you today. And he says, you know, these songs are really important to him. They're like part of who he is. And so he actually decides to sing a Negro spiritual called Wade in the Water, and to sing Lift Every Voice and Sing, which is also known as the Black National Anthem. Now, you know, that might not seem like that big of a deal, because he's singing these songs that are pretty, you know, important to him. But I was sitting there, and I had this kind of moment of like, what is happening? Because if you know, I mean, so Michael and I, when we first started dating, there was a lot of things in our family that were very difficult, to say the least. I think when my parents first found out that I was dating him, for various reasons, and
particularly like a lot of fear and racial hostility and all of these things. My mom responded in a way where she was just like very upset and kind of went hysterical and basically was like, you know, if you date this guy, if you marry this guy, like I have no reason to live. And it was really intense. It was very, very dramatic. And she was, you know, at certain points kind of said like, you're not my daughter, this and that. And so we had this crazy sort of like next 4 years journey of like lots of conversation, lots of prayer, lots of tears, lots of frustration, lots of trying to understand each other. And eventually my mom came around and our wedding day was really amazing, this kind of beautiful day of reconciliation. And then there was this day where it's my mom's birthday and Michael was singing these songs. And as he was singing these songs, I had this like moment of like, wow, like this really is only possible because of Jesus. Like nobody else, only because of Jesus is this moment possible. And I was watching my mom and her face and just her just kind of have this like awe and wonder and like that look of adoration, like he was her son. And thinking about like, okay, 6 years ago, she was like gonna disown me because I was dating him. And now he's actually my family. Like he's family. And my mom, not just I accept him as family, but my mom accepts him as family. And I knew that in that moment, like this was a picture of the gospel. This is the gospel. The good news that Jesus brings isn't just that we are reconciled to God, but that he reconciles us to each other. And that even in the midst of the most tense, most hostile, most crazy racial issues, that he can bring people together and there can be peace. And this is the kind of gospel that God is calling us to. And in the midst of that, the mystery doesn't end there. Somehow, if that weren't enough, there's also just this idea that the mystery doesn't end there. In fact, this mysterious work that Jesus has done in reconciling divided bodies to one another, it actually creates this whole new reality of the church. The church is this reconciled body that now is like God's vehicle of revelation to the world. And Ephesians talks about this in verses 10 to 11. And this is kind of crazy because, you know, God did this amazing thing and could have just done that and left it and been like, here, this is how I reveal it, I do it. But instead, in this reconciled body, this sort of like result of his reconciliation, God uses the church. He builds this church, this reconciled church, this body, to be a vehicle of revelation to the world. And he says his intent was that now through this church, this reconciled church, this church of Jew and Gentile reconciled to each other, that the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does this mean? Our God is big. Our God is multifaceted. His wisdom is manifold. It has a lot of aspects to it. And he uses us as a church, a diverse yet united church. He uses us as the church to reflect his nature, his wisdom, the fullness of who he is to the world. And he needs all of us. He needs every single person. He needs each and every one of us. And we're not just kind of melted into this one thing where we're now all our particularities and differences are all erased. No, unity is not uniformity. In fact, the church needs every expression, every facet to carry and reveal this sort of a manifold wisdom of God in this world. And in some ways, I have this image of the church kind of reflecting this idea of a diamond. So I don't really like diamonds that much for various reasons. But diamonds are really interesting. They have many faces or facets. And these different facets, the more facets and faces you have, when light shines through, the more brilliant it is, right? And so, in a way, like, if the church is meant to reflect God and reveal the manifold wisdom of God in this world, we need every face, we need every facet, every member is important. And every member is a part of God being more fully revealed to the world. And not just to the world, but to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So what does that mean? basically, it just means that we as a church get to speak to the powers and principalities, the forces at work, we get to kind of speak to them, these forces that shape cultures and institutions and communities. We get to say that your time is up, that Jesus has done something new, that we embody that, and it is good, and our God is good. We as a church are called to reveal the mystery of God in this world, this mystery that we received in Jesus. We reveal it as a church. This is our call. And around 10 years ago, I think maybe 10 years ago, I don't know exactly, some members of our church try to live out this call, to reveal the manifold wisdom of God, to reveal sort of in this reconciled church, to reveal to the world the fullness of God. They did it through a Girl Scout troop. How many of you recognize some faces in this picture? So I wasn't here when this happened, but you know, there were some folks in the church, like Dana Cunliffe, Michelle Wong, Sarah Donaldson, some folks who started helping out with a Girl Scout troop that met after school at Rosa Parks. But you know, this troop wasn't your typical Girl Scout troop, if you can kind of tell by this picture. Michelle had recruited some students who were mostly like at risk, high need, came from broken families, a lot of ethnic minority kids, and many of them faced really significant challenges in life. And many of them, in some ways, weren't the typical Girl Scout, kind of whatever typical is. And in the words of Sarah Donaldson, they had some, quote unquote, very loud, boisterous meetings that were sometimes soap opera worthy with the interpersonal conflicts the girls had. So like these girls from the ages of 5 to 9 that were in this Girl Scout troop, they had a lot of drama. But also, somehow in the midst of that drama, Michelle and the leaders of this group were trying to show the girls that they were loved, that they were valuable, that they were empowered. And every time they went to a broader Girl Scout troop thing, whether it was like a Girl Scout camp in the woods or some meetings where other Girl Scout troops came, they would get some stares, they would get some looks, they would get some, you know, like, who are these girls? What kind of Girl Scout troop is this? And in a way, I think that people were baffled by this troop, and they were actually, at the same time, reflecting the mystery of the gospel. That community is surprising and unexpected and sometimes messy in the kingdom of God, and yet it's also really beautiful that in the diversity of a reconciled body that there's messiness and there's kind of unexpectedness, but this is kind of the kind of community God longs for his church to be. And I think the church is meant to kind of inspire people to be like, what is that? Or who are they? Why do they do that? Why do they look like that? How do those people work together? How do those people fit in one space? How do they share life together? And that's the kind of church that I think that God wants Church Without Walls to be, a church that actually reflects the mystery of the gospel in the world. And when I think about that, I think, like, you know, Church Without Walls is in this interesting place, and clearly, Church Without Walls sort of has this history of really caring about being a cross-cultural community. I think that CY wouldn't have this whole sermon series in this time of transition if you didn't, if we didn't care as a community about being a cross-cultural community, about living out this gospel that is not just us and God, but us and each other. That CY really does care about these things. But I also think that we as a church, maybe like me, you know, as a person who likes to know things and figure things out, we're not always that great with, like, embracing mystery, right? We like to know things. We are a very educated church. I found out a week ago that, like, 45% of people in this church have a master's degree or higher. So clearly there's a lot of knowledge, a lot of gifts of intellect and understanding in this church. And in the midst of that, I really felt, as I was kind of preparing for the sermon and thinking about Ephesians, that this theme of mystery is so important for us, because the goodness of the gospel, the goodness of what we've received in Jesus, it's not anything that we could have thought up. That it's not anything that the minds of human beings could have thought up. This was actually the mind of God. That in a way, in such a way that it's unexpected and it's mysterious. And we know a lot of things, we want a lot of things, we have a lot of dreams and desires for this church. you know, I think, like we've gone through the sermon and the sermon series, and throughout the sermon series, there's a lot of things we've talked about. We've talked about loving our neighbors who are different from us. We've talked about living humbly with one another. We've talked about reconciling conflict across difference. We've talked about making space to hear and experience God in our heart languages. We've talked about systems and institutions and pursuing justice and equity and all these things. And we want these things. We want these things as a church. But in the midst of that, I think that God really wants to speak to us as a community and say, will you make room for mystery? Will you make room for mystery? That ultimately all of these things that we want come from God, that they are His dream, that they are His desires, that they are His vision, and they come not from our own kind of intellect and thinking and strategizing and planning, but ultimately they have to come from Him. And this vision, it's not just something that the founding members kind of thought up when our church was started over 15 years ago. It's not just something we do to kind of be PC, to be a diverse church, and to look colorful on a website, you know? It's not just part of trying to be very Berkeley and being, you know, adaptable in our setting. It's not just something we do because it's cool. We do it because of Jesus. And we do it because it is the gospel, and it is something that we receive from God. I'm going to share this quote from N.T. Wright. He kind of talks about this, and he says, the United Church is not as an optional extra when the work of redemption has been celebrated, but is itself part of the reality of the gospel. The way in which God is taking forward His plan for the whole cosmos. The reunion of the scattered fragments of humanity in the Messiah is the sign to the world that here we have nothing short of new creation. We, as Church Without Walls, can be a sign of new creation. We, as a reconciled body of people across difference, trying to share life and love one another, we can be a sign of new creation. And this is the mystery that we both receive in Jesus and that we reveal to the world. All of the things that we want are also things that Jesus wants. I think Jesus wants our church to be agents of reconciliation. Jesus wants our church to be bearers of peace. Jesus wants us to be people who affirm difference in a world that is often colorblind. Jesus wants us to be a church that is mysterious and messy and makes people ask, how does that happen? What makes that work? And Jesus wants to make the impossible possible. And He wants it more than any of us could ever ask or imagine. So it's in Him, it's in Jesus that we place all of our hope. And so tonight, I have two calls for us as a church. For some of us, this means that we have to learn how to receive mystery. We're good at the planning, we're good at the strategizing, we're good at the having visions and coming up with 10 steps for how we can become more cross-cultural and do this better. But I think maybe God wants to challenge some of you in the midst of that to make space, to make room, to be surprised, to receive mystery. For Jesus to come to you and say, this is my work. Let my spirit lead you. Let me show you how it should be. And so some of us need to make space to receive mystery. And that might be, you know, just through making space for prayer or making space for listening or maybe just slowing down a little bit or maybe kind of taking plans or visions or ideas you have and kind of waiting on those things. But I think some of us need to learn how to receive mystery a little bit more. And as we learn to receive it, I hope that it will lead us to deeper worship of Jesus. And for some of us, this actually means that we have to be more cognizant of what it means to be a church that is revealing mystery, taking some risks and actually being a part of a community that's messy and unexpected and making people wonder. And maybe that's through building some friendships with people who you might not normally build friendships with, or loving a neighbor that you don't normally talk to, or trying to meet a neighbor from where they're coming from in their cultural reality and not just from yours, or maybe reconciling with someone that you know you need to reconcile with. I think that for us as a church, that God is calling us to be people who both receive mystery and to reveal mystery, to know that the goodness of the gospel in Jesus Christ, the beauty and the wonder of a reconciled body, is what we're called to live out in this world. That it is good news. It is the good news that we need to receive, and is also the good news that the city needs to receive. It's the good news that this world needs to receive. Amen. So take out your connection cards. I just want to invite you to take a moment to reflect on where you are, and maybe you're someone who feels like you need to make space to receive mystery, and think about what that looks like. I know it's kind of abstract, but just ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you about what that looks like. Maybe some of you want to actually be part of a church that's revealing mystery, the mystery of this kind of reconciled body, and take time, make some space to kind of just listen and ask what that might look like. I really do believe that Jesus wants to use Church Without Walls to be part of his work of making the impossible possible, and really wants us to understand and receive just the power of the mystery of the gospel. And so take some time to reflect on what your next steps might be. And one other option for you, right after this sort of passage that we looked at today, is this beautiful prayer, this prayer for the church in Ephesus. And if you want this week and feel led, pray through that prayer, and pray that prayer for this church, for our community. And hopefully that will be a transformative thing for you. But let me pray for us, and then I'll lead us into a time of just filling out the connection cards, and Jason will continue in worship. Jesus, we thank you that you make the impossible possible. We thank you that in you and through you we have everything we need. We thank you that in you and through you that we get to live as a diverse and yet reconciled body, a community in which every member gets to be him and herself, and yet every member is also united to the other. Lord, I just pray that even right now that your Spirit would come and guide us and speak to us and move us and convict our hearts. Show us what it means to be a church that embraces and embodies your mystery. Give us visions, give us dreams, give us hope, and give us a deeper worship of you tonight. We thank you for your word, and we pray that it would continue to speak to us, and that you'd continue to guide us as we continue to sing and worship.